With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening to this, on whatever audio device you may be listening to. I'd like to thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Front and Center Sports Podcast. You are now listening to the voice of your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash, and I'm solo dolo today. My boy Carl the Outsider. We got, let's call it technology problems, but you know what? We, got a big show for this, for you this week. We'll see how long I can make this thing. Way too much has happened. We have the Super Bowl coming up. Actually, today, since this drops on Sunday, so later on today, the Super Bowl will be dropping. We had a major, maybe the biggest NBA trade deadline we've possibly ever had. And we got NFL awards. The awards ceremony was came out. I'll just say a certain quarterback was robbed, but we'll talk about it. So first and foremost, if you listen to me or you listen to thechairshot.com, which by the way, we are a proud member of thechairshot.com, Chairshot Radio Network. If you listen to anything we do here at the network, or even just my work in general, you know that on the Oblong Ballfoot Show, or Chairshot NFL, whatever you want to call it, we have broken down the Super Bowl ad nauseum. So I really don't want to get into it too much. I'm not the most excited about the game. I want to give a shout out, though, to both teams, the Chiefs, the Eagles. The Chiefs have been the best team in football all year. They clearly have made peace with God, Cthulhu, and every horseshoe that exists in the state of Kansas and the state of Missouri, because Kansas is in Missouri, but nonetheless, because they have been winning every game by the hair of their chinny chin chin. Basically, you just need to thank head and shoulders for keeping that luscious mane of possible future GOAT Patrick Mahomes very, very clean, because they are sneaking by every grain of that man's hair. Losing one game all season, and the one game they lose is to a very, very game and the second best team in their conference, Buffalo Bills. So, you know, as Jim Ross would say, a slobber knocker. You have to really think about the fortitude it takes to go 2-for-2 and then come back the next year and have your best year from a win standpoint, 16-1. And then go basically get back to the third Super Bowl. It's unprecedented. And that's not just in football. Football being the hardest sport of all of them because of the shortness of the schedule, the physicality of the games, the number of players on each team. You know, basketball has 5, baseball has 9. Yes, I know OG football, soccer has 11, but there's physicality in soccer, but not like American football. And everybody got to move as one. It's by far the hardest sport to do this in. But even in hockey, in basketball, in baseball, all the other sports that have actual, you know, playoff series, best of five, best of seven, and whatnot, to go 3-for-3. Not many can do it, man. And you got to give them credit for being in a position to do such things. You know, you want to shout out some of the heavy hitters, of course. Travis Kelce, who's probably officially reached GOAT status when it comes to tight end. You could argue with him. You could argue with Gronk. You could argue with Tony Gonzalez. Those are probably your three in any type of order you want to put them in. I would probably go with Travis as the best because he's done it for so long at such a level. And Tony did too. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to disrespect Tony. But Travis is just taking it to a whole nother level. And so shout out to Travis. By the way, you know, great players get greater when it's the toughest, when it's the hardest, when the pressure is the highest. And your boy Travis Kelce is one of those guys. He plays better when the stakes are highest. You know, how many times have we said over this season, in the past couple seasons really, hey, the kid is, he's wearing out. He's been going to too many Swiftie concerts. You know, he's doing too many commercials and TV shows because he's not having great regular seasons. And then, you know, he reminds you by having a 7-catch, 125, 2-touchdown game. Well, that happened in the Super Bowl. Who's to say? We also want to shout out on that team, Chris Jones, the best defensive tackle in the game. Now that Aaron Donald's gone, it's Chris Jones' world. We just living in it. Leo Chenault, Justin Reed, Trent McDuffie. That defense is probably extended Pat Mahomes' window another 3-4 years. You know, it's fascinating how these dynasties, football-wise, change so drastically in style of play. You know, thinking of the OG Patriots, I mean, it was a ball control offense and they won by hard defense. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't even a 4-3, it was a 3-4 defense. So it was a defensive line style defense. And then go to when they're winning further Super Bowls later on in Brady's career, and they're airing it out. I mean, they're talking Eric Cornell type offense. You know, just Randy run up, run a go. You know, it's Aaron Hernandez. I know he's not a guy I like to talk to. Run a post, and Edelman gets everything in the slots and the flats, and Gronk gets touchdowns. Like, that was what it was. Even their backs were pass catching backs. Rex Burkhead, James Flight White, you know. So it's interesting to see the change. And then you think of to do the opposite. You know, the Chiefs were as run up the score as a team was 2-3-4 years ago. You know, we know Tyreek Hill as one of the best receivers now. Well, why do we see him as that? Because what he was doing with the Chiefs, you know, they were just throwing bombs. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, if I'm not mistaken, threw for 5,000 yards one season. That don't happen all the time. And now you look at it and he's running the ball. Not just, I mean, like handing the ball off to Pacheco, handing the ball off to Kareem Hunt, and he's running himself and letting the defense win them games. I believe the stat this year was they've scored over 30 points one game this season, and that was in the AFC Championship game. They scored 31. That's crazy. In a world where the NFL's begging for you to score offense, they've changed the rules for more offense, and the possible Super Bowl champion has only scored over 30 one time. Where you look at the other team on the other side of this game, the Philadelphia Eagles, dropped 55. in a playoff game. So, and I know it was the Commanders. I mean, no disrespect, but still. So you got to give all the credit in the world. I believe Andy Reid has officially cemented himself, probably as the second best coach of the Super Bowl era, maybe third overall, because Lombardi won a ton of NFL championships that weren't Super Bowls. But yeah, man, the man just keeps reinventing himself. And one thing like Belichick that they have in common is it doesn't matter who the coordinator is. Matt Nagy, Bieniemy, doesn't matter. Same thing. We still put up points. We still make plays. Speaking of coordinators, Spagnuolo's in the Coordinators Hall of Fame, because that dude just continues to show he knows defense. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a great defensive line like the Giants days, or now he's got great linebackers. The boy's a monster, and he just figures it out. So the Chiefs are a very dangerous possibility, and their defense is a little old. Their defense is a little older, but you know, is what it is. Still, you know, you got a kid named Rashee Rice who, when he was healthy, was one of the probably the 10-15 best receivers in the game. You got young tight ends like Noah Gray and Justin Watson, who aren't Travis, but have a lot of talent in their own right. Hollywood Brown is still a young guy. DeAndre Hopkins is definitely on his way out the league, but he's got another year to help these young receivers kind of learn to be professionals. And Xavier Worthy, you put Rashee Rice as your X and Worthy as your Y or your Z, put him in a slot and then let Hollywood be your Z. That's a terrifying, like, triple threat of receivers. If they can stay healthy and get on the same page with possibly the GOAT, the future GOAT, your boy, Patrick Mahomes. Shout out to the Eagles, though. Saquon Barkley had the season of a lifetime. It's amazing what the kid did this year. I know the Giants are angry. They are miserable. Yeah, shout out to the Meyer family. They are drinking their sorrows away as we speak. I mean, literally, there's camera footage of him saying, "I hope to God he doesn't win the Super Bowl." That's amazing to me. Nonetheless, greatest gift ever that someone from New York gave someone to Philadelphia was Saquon Barkley, who, as I'll allude to later on, is the offensive player of the year. Rightfully deserved, rightfully earned. I believe he's at like 2,447 yards. He's 50 yards away from having the most yards ever in a season from week one to the Super Bowl. Yeah, you'll never forget this season for this young man. And he is on a star-studded team in his own right. I mean, I know the most talked about in a negative way, the most lamented, the most forgotten about, joked about quarterback, good quarterback, that is Jalen Hurts. Shout out to Channel View. The kid does nothing but win. And I don't care if the boy throws 70% completion percentage or throws 45% completion percentage. The kid wins. And I understand quarterback wins is not a stat to many people, but I mean, you go back to high school. I don't think this kid's ever had a losing season. And you know, and yes, he's been around some amazing talent, but there's certain quarterbacks that have had those same amounts of talent and have done little to nothing with them. So what this kid has been able to do, he is just continues to impress and rise to the occasion of the level of the game or what level is needed. I cite to you the Super Bowl that these two teams played in 2 years ago when he outplayed Patrick Mahomes. He had one of the best Super Bowl games ever. He had an errant fumble that essentially cost the game, and he'll live with that forever, and he'll learn from that. But the threat of his legs against that defensive line is probably the matchup of the game. And I know many people are going to want to say it's going to be Saquon against the line, the front seven. And it should be, sure, because he's going to get the majority of not only the conversation, but the majority of the looks and the majority of the game plan. But the game's going to be won or lost with Jalen Hurts' legs to be able to extend the plays and run for first downs when they need them, and his arm, because there's no way that team, that defense, those coordinators and coaches are going to allow them to lose to a strictly running attack, quarterback, running back, sweeps by receivers, whatever it is. So, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and yeah, even you, Jahan Dotson, who's done little or nothing all year. I'm looking for y'all to have some big plays to be a decent-sized part of this offense and this game if your team wants to win. Sirianni is an offensive coach, so let's make it happen. See what you can do, because it can't be Saquon running for 175. That ain't going to happen. And even if it does, y'all have lost games where he's done that. So I wouldn't rest on my laurels trusting that Saquon's going to put the team on his back, though. In a Super Bowl? No. Defensively, of course, you got guys like Jalen Carter, guys like Zach Bond, guys like Darius Slay, Westbrook Akine. They have some stars. I said something on Album on Ballfoot about Zach Bond, and I don't mean any disrespect, because I think he's probably one of, if not the best middle linebackers in the game. But he's a middle linebacker. Alex Anzalone is very similar to this in that they're all over the field and they make tackles, but he needs to do more than just tackle in this game. I'm going to need tackles for loss. I'm going to need tipped balls. I'm going to need plays in coverage. I'm going to need passes batted. And yes, passes batted are different than tipped balls. Tipped balls I'm talking about at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to need more from this young man if he wants to be able to stop Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the two-time back-to-back, three-time overall NFL champion, Kansas City Chiefs. The spread, last I checked, was the Chiefs minus one. I want to see if I got that correct. I may have that wrong. Give me 1 second. But so essentially it's a pick 'em game. I don't care about the spread in this game. If it was over three, we'd have something to talk about. Yeah, Chiefs minus one. If it was bigger than three, if we were talking like four, 4.5, we'd have a betting conversation. Literally, Vegas is like, pick who you want. We don't care. This is a prop bet game, and I'm not going to go over the prop bets. That's more of a PC Tunney thing. Shout out to the commissioner. But I will give you my prediction. As much as Kansas City has done, and they will be in it for a long time, they have run the gauntlet. They have beaten in succession these past 3 years the Bengals and Joe Burrow, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, and the Bills and Josh Allen in successive years in the AFC Championship game. And a couple of those games were away. I know they had to go to Baltimore, and they beat Baltimore in Baltimore. So the kid, Patrick, is doing it. They're going to be here for a long time, but I believe this is the one shot for the Eagles to get glory. I believe that Jalen Hurts remembers what he did 2 years ago. I believe that Sirianni has them trained and prepared. And I believe, like, journeymen like Hollywood Brown and like DeAndre Hopkins, they are gonna, because they don't know how much longer they have in these situations. That's Chiefs, I apologize. And I think they will play well, but I think the Eagles will find a way to sneak by, and we're going to go 24-20 Philadelphia. I could be wrong. I could be right. I can tell you this. I can't wait to watch the Kendrick Lamar performance The Kendrick Lamar concert featuring some NFL football. But no, in all seriousness, I may not be excited about the game for personal reasons because I'm a Ravens fan. But it's going to be a fantastic football game. And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. I will watch. I will talk. I will tweet. I will discuss. I can't wait to talk about it next week on whatever show we do, which is Oblong or the new show, or definitely here, our Front and Center Sports Podcast. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and we'll talk the craziness that is the NBA trade deadline. But first, before I go, don't forget, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Go get some of that good merch. $5 extra. Get the extra good merch, soft style. And yeah, support your boys and help us keep doing this thing we call podcasting for you. Give me just a minute. We'll be right back.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, good people, to the Front and Center Sportscast, the FCP. Once again, it's your boy Randy, aka Ray Cash. My boy Carl is out today. Had some technology issues, but we had to get you something this week. It's a little too crazy. It's a little too wild of a week to not get some of that good stuff from your boys, the outsiders. So, I broke down the Super Bowl best as I could in the last segment, but the main event of this week, by far, no question, no conversation, no contest, was the NBA. And I find it ironic because this year the NFL stole Christmas from the NBA. Well, the NBA stole the Super Bowl week from the NFL. The trade deadline was one of the best in recent memory, if not ever. And I know most people were expecting it to be revolved around Jimmy Butler and his back and forth, his major issues and crazy situation with Pat Riley and the Heat. But no, brother. Rob Pelinka and Nico Harris make maybe the most shocking trade of all time. And when I say most shocking trade of all time, NBA-wise, like, that encompasses a lot. This is, I think, unquestionably up there. By trading 25-year-old, 5-time All-NBA first team, international superstar, MVP, consistently MVP candidate, guy who just took his team to the finals last year, Luka Doncic. And some other players, Max Christie, Markieff Morris. I don't want to disrespect them, but we know what we're here to talk about. To the Lakers for Anthony Davis. Now, I need to explain a couple of reasons why this is such a big deal. Number one, a lot of people are down on Anthony Davis because he's affectionately called Street Clothes by Charles Barkley because he has such a history to stay injured. And that's true. Over the past couple years, he's done a lot better. He's been on the court a lot. But when that man is healthy, Anthony Davis is one of the 10 best players in basketball. There's nobody, with the exception of maybe Greek Freak, that has the combination of offensive dominance and defensive dominance that man has. Also, like Greek Freak, he can guard all 5 positions. If you guys remember, and I know he's been in the game a little bit now, AD, he was a point guard until the senior year of high school, and he shot up like, I don't know, what was it, like 7-8 inches. So this is a dude who understands how to play the wing, understands the ideals and the mindset of a wing player as a 6'10", 6'11" center, power forward. Whatever. He wants to be a power forward, so I'll give him that, the respect. And that's also another reason why this trade possibly was being made. So let's break it down from both sides. From the Lakers side, why would you not get a chance to get maybe the next star of the league? You already have the current star of the league. And yes, I know LeBron's the guy, and he has a lot of, you know, other guys that are the stars with him, you know, Steph and KD come to mind. But LeBron's been the guy almost since the moment he came in the league. And we're looking for that next person to kind of step up and, you know, grab, pardon the last ring. We have a lot of great young guys. I think Giannis had his shot at it and is in that conversation. Jokic is up there, but he doesn't care for the recognition. He just loves playing basketball and his horses. You got the younger guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jason Tatum, and Anthony Edwards. Tatum won something, but he never gets the credit for being the winner. Jaylen Brown won the NBA Finals MVP. Tatum couldn't get on the court in the Olympics. Shai still needs to prove he can get to the conference final of the finals. And the Edwards needs to prove he can win in the playoffs. Like, there's a lot going on with these guys to step up. The one who you could never question was Luka. Luka's been a professional basketball player since he was 14 years old. The kid understands what it takes to be a professional. You know, he was playing in the Slovenian leagues at 14 and dominating. He's dominated in the league. So why not get that guy? Why wouldn't you trade him? Anthony Davis is an immeasurable loss. Multiple reasons. Number one, he's the defensive stalwart. In a lot of ways, LeBron sees a lot of responsibility to him on that team on both ends of the court, as AD has deserved and earned. But then also from a deeper standpoint, AD and LeBron are extremely close. AD has signed to Clutch Sports, who is run by LeBron's business partner and close friend, Rich Paul. So yeah, for AD to be shipped out of there, by the way, I believe the reports that nobody knew. Literally, four people knew. Nico, Rapalinka, Jeannie Buss, and the new Mavericks owner, because Mark Cuban sold the majority. I believe that. I absolutely do, because it would have leaked out. If they talked about it for weeks, it would have leaked. Somebody would have known something. See the shock in all the players' faces when you see them learning about it in real time. That tells you nobody knew. Why not? I understand maybe in the present tense. Because they made a major trade to get a big who plays perfectly with what Luka likes to do. But yeah, the team is a little bit uneven. They traded for Mark Williams from the Hornets. They gave up probably the second most shocking trade of the trade deadline to me personally, Dalton Connect, Cam Reddish, and a first and pick swap, Mark Williams of the Charlotte Hornets. And I had to look up who Mark Williams was. I don't watch Charlotte much. They're pretty trash. Sorry, Kyle. But Mark Williams is a 7'2" Tyson Chandler, Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford clone, averaging like 16-12 or 16-10 or something like that. Yeah, you put him in the hands of two great ball handlers and passers like Luka and LeBron, the kid's gonna eat. There is the question of can Luka and LeBron play on the court together, and I even question that, but then I remember Kyrie's best years in the NBA were alongside LeBron James. So you look at ball dominant guards. The only it can work. LeBron can make it work with you. I think the offense needs to speed up a bit, and Luka doesn't prefer to play in a fast paced offense. He prefers slower paced, kind of ISO half court basketball. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with the squad that they have on the team. Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura and the guys. Jared Vanderbilt. They got Dorian Finney-Smith. So yeah, they have some pieces. They can make it work. I do definitely think though this is a long-term haul, because LeBron doesn't have many years left. If he wanted to, he probably could. Why would you want to when you've done what he's done? But Luka definitely is the guy to kind of lead this team into the future. And imagine being the franchise that went almost literally from Jerry West to Wilt, to Elgin Baylor, to Magic, to Kareem, to Magic. Then like literally 2 years before you get Shaq and Kobe in the same year. Shaq leaves and Kobe becomes the man. You go straight from Kobe into Braun and now Luka. It's not fair. It is not fair. From the Maverick standpoint though, this is where it becomes the most interesting. I get on the court why they did this trade. Just from an on the court standpoint. If you have faith and trust in Kyrie, which they clearly have, and it has paid off for them. A little bit shockingly. Because nobody ever questioned his talent. He's a mercurial guy. He clearly is loved by everybody. But can he work well enough within the structure of a corporate team identity? And he has done fantastically in Dallas. So I give everybody all the credit in the world for that working together. Shout out to Jason Kidd, who was a little mercurial in his own right, who stands and knows how to get through to the boy Kai. But Kyrie was built to play with a big like Anthony Davis, a man who was excellent in the pick and roll, who can pick and pop, who can handle the rock in his own regard, who has a back-to-the-basket game, who can roll to the basket. With the best of them, got a few up so he can do lobs. And AD has spoken ad nauseum about how he hates to play the five. Two of the best young centers in the game, and Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively Jr. Lively is hurt right now, but he'll be back for the stretch run. In the court, they are built. If you were to build a team that's like literally from paper on 2K, based on chemistry, in terms of what they do on the court, what matches, how they can all play. This is the team. They also traded for Caleb Martin, a very underrated three. I like the lineup of this team. Klay Thompson needs to be Klay Thompson. And he will never be Game 6 Klay again. But if he can be a consistent 15-5 guy with 35-40% shooting from three, yeah, they're dangerous, man, because he can get hot like nobody else can. So on the court, it makes sense. But still, who trades a top five player that's 25? Who trades them out the blue? Like, he wasn't even put on the block, y'all. This wasn't even a conversation where, like, they were shopping him or scared he was going to leave. There's three reasons that reports that I, from the reports I'm surmised, while they did one, the Supermax. This new Supermax deal that players are able to get if you reach a certain level of plateaus and platforms, you win MVP, or you reach so many All-Star games and All-Pro, All-NBA selections, whatever, your money jumps to a higher level. Luka has that. Luka was going to be able to sign for, I believe, $325 million this offseason. That is wild. And someone in the Mavericks organization was like, nah. Nah, son, I disagree. And so that money, and don't get me wrong, you know, now, I don't want to get too deep in the business of basketball, but now that they have this apron situation where the first apron and the second apron, the luxury tax that these teams are paying is ridiculous money. So teams are desperately trying to make trades to get under the aprons. I mean, Memphis traded Marcus Smart and a first round unprotected pick for second round picks. Marcus Smart, dude who was a Defensive Player of the Year a couple years ago, and Memphis is the number two team in the NBA in the Western Conference right now. They could use a guy like that in the stretch run. Nope, we need to get under the cap, y'all. So, and I don't mean under the hard cap. I'm talking under the first apron over the cap line. So, money talks. We know what it is in basketball. Secondly, this is clear. The team had some issues with trust in Luka and his commitment to basketball. Now, clearly, and I don't mean to typecast here, but as we've seen with Jokic, it's a very European thing to kind of be a bit lackadaisical to the rigmarole of the league. Giannis is one of the few guys I've seen who loves the grind of the league, of the day-to-day, and going to the gym and working out and practicing. Luka repeatedly comes to practice and starts the season overweight. And look, that's not me judging. This is reports. So Luka, if you're listening, hey, I'm not saying this because I've seen it with my own eyes, big dog. But you know, it is what it is. This is what's been reported and as news. He partakes in a few vices, if you will, which probably aren't conducive to being a professional athlete. But you know, I'm not here to judge. But that's a very scary thing for a team who's putting their future into you. I mean, it's one thing to pay a guy an exorbitant amount of money, but 300 and some odd millions of dollars, that's a record. That's going to break the record. And I need output. And unfortunately, if Luka was drinking and smoking and coming into the season, like not in shape, and he was still balling like he's balling and was regularly available, we probably wouldn't be talking about this. But Luka stays hurt, and his injuries are injuries that you can directly relate to his weight and his conditioning issues, calf strains, things like that. That's conditioning. So Dallas was scared of what that could mean. Now, I know some of you listening are going to say, well, that's ironic, Ray, because Anthony Davis is called street clothes. You're right. The difference is Anthony Davis is a little bit older. He's 32, figured out what works and what doesn't work for him. And on the court, they match. I would argue the reason the Mavericks lost that series last year is because Luka and Kyrie were playing, you do it. No, you do it. They're playing hot potato. Luka respects Kai too much to just say, this is my team. They were playing, it's your game, no, it's your game. And yeah, Kai eventually fell in line and was comfortable being off the ball. But is that what you want Kyrie to be, an off-ball guard? That's not his game. Kyrie, no matter what you think of the dude, is one of the best point guards we've seen in the league in the past 20, 30 years. You know, the kid that played 3 games in college and was the number pick, unquestioned. So yeah, like I think on court what Nico was thinking made a lot of sense. The third reason is Nico and Rob Pelinka are friends. They go back. They go back to when Nico worked for Nike and Rob Pelinka, Kobe's agent, and bring Kobe to Nike. That's how far back those two go. And so you have a guy who's trying to cement himself in his role, and you have a new owner who's trying to cement himself as the litmus test of his team. So I can see some kind of situation there to say, we're going to rebuild the team the way we want to rebuild the team. And if that costs us this dude, it costs us that dude. At least they got something back for him. There is also some complaints among fans that they only got one first round pick. My argument to that is, all these people that are getting traded for all these picks, they're not getting comparable talent on the court. I understand that Luka is super duper star. Anthony Davis could win the MVP. Now, this year, no. Shea and Jokic are like neck and neck for it. So, like, I'm not shocked. You know what I mean? That those guys are the guys at the top. But I would not be surprised if AD sneak in on this team with the MVP. On top of that, the West is wide open. Your top four teams right now in the Western Conference are the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are unproven, and Shea is great, but last year he made mistakes that cost them their series in the Western Conference semis. You have Jokic, who's in the Nuggets, who he's literally playing 1-on-5 most nights, and he's so good, he's winning. You have the Houston Rockets, who are literally a whole bunch of young kids trying to figure it out, and it's just working right now, and I have faith in them in a couple years. They're way too early in their story. And then you got the Memphis Grizzlies, who just traded away maybe the best wing defender ball to save money. And yeah, they got Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Shout out to Jaren Jackson Jr. being an all-star. But Ja hasn't made the leap that I feel he should have made at this point. And it's his own doing. You know, injuries hurt, but his legal and personal issues have really hurt his standing and where he should be in the league, and missing so many games, I think it's hurt his development. Now, they could make a run, but I don't have any faith in any of those top four teams to say, oh, they're going to run away with the Western Conference. So right now, Dallas is sitting at 8, 27-25. They could go on a 15-game run eventually and get up there. I would not be shocked. If you're telling me that it's a 7-game series between the Dallas Mavericks as presently constituted and the Thunder, man, the Thunder better. But the chemistry and the way that the Mavericks can play, and with people as clutch as AD and Kyrie and Klay, yeah, man, they got a shot. So I think this helps the Lakers in the future. This definitely helps the Mavericks in the present and going forward in the future as well. I'm not gonna talk about every trade. Clearly, I just can't do that, you know, especially now with Carl not being here. But I want to run through a few. The Spurs trading for De'Aaron Fox, and the Kings getting Zach LaVine and Kevin Huerter, and Zach Collins going to the Bulls. The Bulls just continue to stockpile young talent. They don't know what they want to do yet. Good for them. You know, they know they got to get bad before they can get good again. They're hoping somebody just steps up and becomes a star. Shout out to Lonzo getting healthy. Zach LaVine, though, going to Sacramento can be interesting. I really, really feel bad for the Sacramento Kings. I really feel bad for what's happening over there with that squad. Because they have lots of talent, so please don't take that as they just traded the farm away to rebuild. No, the Kings can still be a perennial playoff team. Domantas Sabonis, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, yeah, they're gonna be competitive. But this is a team that successively had Tyrese Halliburton and then De'Aaron Fox, and they traded Halley. Now you have neither. De'Aaron Fox was just the guy that was called most clutch player, I think, 2 years in a row. And Tyrese Halliburton is multiple-time All-Star, face of the franchise of one of the top teams in the NBA. So, like, I really failed to see what the plan is here. And Sabonis is a guy that needs a good point guard. That's his game. You know, he's not a guy you're going to give the rock to for 25 shots and say make a bucket. That's not his game. So I really want to see what the plan is here. I also want to see what the plan is. I get the future with De'Aaron Fox being in San Antonio, because De'Aaron Fox is like 24. Him and Wimby and Stephon Castle and Keldon Johnson and Sochan, like, there's some pieces. And then Uncle Chris, kind of teach them how to win, that could be good. But like in the meantime, De'Aaron Fox and Chris Paul do the same things. Not the same way. I understand De'Aaron Fox is more of a scoring point. Chris Paul is the point guard for a reason, but that could be interesting. I think San Antonio just continues to get more dangerous. I mentioned to you that Caleb Martin got traded to the Mavericks, so that helps them in finding a starting level three, although I know PJ Washington, it is what it is at that point. Now, this trade here, some people will be confused, makes all the sense in the world to me, and that's Kyle Kuzma for Chris Middleton. You know, the NBA, there is no loyalty when it comes to these teams. They're going to do what's best for business. Chris Middleton has been Mr. Buck. Thank you for your time. We'll see you when it's time for you to get the beautiful video package. But Chris Middleton was getting older and less reliable because he was repeatedly and regularly injured. Kyle Kuzma is a younger, more athletic, cheaper version of Chris Middleton. The only question is Kuzma up for the challenge? Now, I know Middleton's role changed pretty significantly with Dame Dollar coming to the squad. But if Kuzma can be a guy that can hit open threes, if he can hit open shots and give you some semblance of some good defense, this could be a net win for Milwaukee. And, you out of your mind if you think Chris Middleton is going to stay with the Wizards. That's a buyout waiting to happen. So look for Chris Middleton to go somewhere on the contender. Hey, Phoenix would love to have you, Chris. Just want you to know that. Another trade that's really interesting for me is Brandon Ingram. We've heard rumblings over the past couple years of B.I. one out of New Orleans, or New Orleans thinking that they can't keep B.I. and Zion together. Well, they finally traded him to the Toronto Raptors for Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, Indiana's first round pick next year, and a second round pick this year. So basically, some change. And I like Bruce Brown, and Kelly Olynyk has been really good in his career, but Brandon Ingram is an all-star. And you pair him next to Scottie Barnes, the young kid Grady Dick, Chris Boucher. Who's out here catching and dunking on folk and blocking wild shots. Toronto can be really, really interesting in the next year or two. I really, really like the possibility of what that could possibly mean for them. B.I. has to take the lead of being the main scorer, though. That's Scotty Barnes' team, but he's not a guy that you can expect to go out there and say, give me 25. So B.I. really needs to take the lead of saying, okay, Scotty, you take all the responsibility of being the leader. You're our defensive leader. You are our ball handler at the four position. But I know what I'm here for. Basically, treat him like Prime Melo. You know what I'm here for. You know why I'm here. So that takes us to probably what the people came for this trade deadline, and that's the mercurial Jimmy Butler. After all the conversation about your boy trying to get to Phoenix and turning down Golden State, telling them he's not going to, doesn't want to go there and won't re-sign, the kid Jimmy Butler accepted the trade to Golden State and signed immediately a 2-year, $121 million extension. He's there for the next 3 years, y'all. So Jimmy gets traded to Golden State. Miami gets slow-mo Kyle Anderson, Davion Mitchell, and Andrew Wiggins, who consequently is keeping number 22, which was Jimmy's number in Miami, which is interesting, and a protected first-round pick next year. Detroit gets the journeyman of all journeymen, Dennis Schroeder and Lindy Waters. They jumped in just to say hi. Utah gets Kenyon Martin's son and Josh Richardson. And Toronto gets P.J. Tucker, some cash, a second-round pick, and all of P.J. Tucker's shoe collection. the main conversation here is between Golden State and Miami. You know, I'm trying to figure out what the plan for Miami is. Tyler Hero made the All-Star game. Bam Adebayo is a legit star in this game, but Bam Adebayo is kind of in the same situation, I think, that Domantas Sabonis is in that he's a big who needs a good wing who can feed him, take a lot of the ball handling duties, take a lot of the responsibility offensively. And Jimmy will never get enough credit for what he did for that squad, especially since what he did recently, kind of turning on everybody and doing what he could to get out of the team against contract. And I don't begrudge him. Get your money, young man. I wonder how much you're going to get out of Andrew Wiggins. You know he's going to defend. And Spoelstra and Riley love defenders. But are you really willing to bet the house with Tyler Hero being your top scorer? If you are, cheers to you, man. I don't trust it, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a crazy thing. We mentioned Mark Williams going to the Lakers, which is, again, crazy, a crazy trade for someone. Dalton Connect can be a star, I think, but hey, what can you do? The last couple of trades I want to talk about are smaller trades. Jusuf Nurkić and a first go to Charlotte for Cody Vlahovic and a 2026 second round pick. Big move getting Nurk away from Phoenix. He was ready to go. We were ready to get rid of him. Love that for both teams. Terrence Mann and Bones Highland go to Atlanta. The Clippers get Bogdan Bogdanovic, which is a big, big piece for James Harden because that man loves a bucket. And the Clippers, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not paying attention, they're kind of good this year. No Kyrie. Oh, now I hadn't seen this one. Marvin Bagley and Johnny Davis and picks go to Memphis. Oh, this is the Marcus Smart deal. Kobe Jones, Marcus Smart, and Alex Lynn. Yeah, I like Marvin Bagley in Memphis. I do. That's a good trade for them. And DeAndre Hunter goes to Cleveland for Caris LeVert and Gorgeous Niang and some picks. Y'all, it's been a wild trade deadline. The league is going to look totally different. I'm glad we have an all-star break this week or next week to kind of take a breath and recalibrate because it's going to be some weird looks. Luka, a 77 Luka Doncic jersey in gold. A number 10 Jimmy Butler jersey in blue. You know, De'Aaron Fox, black. Zach LaVine's first game. And that purple looks fantastic on a number 8, but it still looks weird. But yeah, the NBA is different. And everybody trying to get at the Celtics. Very similar. Very similar to what's happening with everybody to get at the Chiefs. Boston got a chance to make a 2-3-4-5-year run, man. But these boys making deals to try to say no, especially in the West. So we'll see what's going on with that further on down the line. Next week we'll give you some updates, definitely with the All-Star game coming up and see what's happening with that and what these players look like on their respective new teams. In the meantime, we're going to take one more break, and I will come back and we'll do some hot shots and close the show. Once again, Friends in the Sports Podcast, ChairShot Radio Network.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
What up, y'all? It's still your boy, Rance, aka Ray Cash. Friends in the Sports Podcast, ChairShot Radio Network. You can follow the show on Instagram at Friends in the Sports. You can follow the show or email the show at Front and Center Sports Podcast at gmail.com. Of course, follow the Chair Shot at Chair Shot Media. Go to thechairshot.com. Follow all our good content stuff every day, all day. News, reviews, all that good stuff, sports entertainment and sports entertainment. Go to chairshot.com, get some good stuff, man. We got stuff for everybody. And if you want to follow me on Elon's tax write-off, I'm at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Y'all, I'm going to get out of here on this. I'm going to charge you too long because I don't want to be that guy who complains just because his favorite player didn't get what he thinks his favorite player should have gotten. I am not going to sit here and tell you that Josh Allen was not deserving of being in the MVP conversation or even of winning it. That man had a fantastic season. His team had a fantastic season. And yes, I know most times MVPs are narrative awards. So the narrative that the Bills were supposed to be down after losing major, major players was real. And they overshot all expectations. And I want to give Sean McDermott a lot of credit for that as well. James Cook, too, who has had a quiet, amazing season. But tonight, I recorded the show on Thursday for the record. So at the NFL Honors tonight, Josh Allen won the MVP. Now, I knew he was going to win the second I realized Lamar didn't go. Which was quite interesting. And I get why Lamar didn't go. Lamar is focused on winning a championship. I'm not here for the games. And I'm not here for the pleasantries. I'm a practice. I'm going to take care of my people. And I'm going to be prepared to win. But man, yeah, Josh was sitting up there with Haley Steinfeld, his beautiful fiance, playing the game. And if you remember the conversation had been that Lamar got the MVPs, Patrick got the titles, what does Josh have? Well, y'all pitied that man into the MVP. And I say that because if you put his numbers against anybody else's, within reason, Joe Burrow blew him out the water, numbers-wise, but Joe Burrow's team wasn't successful. They didn't make the playoffs. They barely were 500, if they were 500. So, I get. Take that away. The only difference in Lamar and Josh's records, Lamar and Josh's stats, the only difference in that Josh was more successful in was that Josh's team won one more game than Lamar's, and Josh had more rushing touchdowns. In every category that is old school or new school, so we're talking just regular yards per game, yards per play, touchdowns, interceptions, or even the new stuff, QBR, stuff like that. Lamar blew him out the water. I'm not talking about like a close contest. I'm talking about blew him out of the water significantly better. So y'all need to explain to me what narrative y'all want to do, because if it's stats are the best, like y'all screamed last year when Lamar won but Dak had better stats, well, Lamar beat every good team he played by a significant margin. Josh Allen didn't do that. They were 2-3 against playoff teams. Ravens 7-3. I know I sound like a disgruntled Ravens fan, and I am. So I won't go long on this, but I just want y'all to tell me, what are the rules? Help me understand. What's the plan? What's the goal? What are we going to base this award on? Because if you keep changing it every year, you're going to give everybody you want to have a championship. I mean, a MVP. Not the people who's most deserving. Because there's not a human being alive who thinks Josh Allen, that's out of Buffalo or not a Buffalo fan, that thinks Josh Allen didn't deserve this award, that he deserved this award more than Lamar. And I'll give you proof. Lamar won the AP All-Pro first team by a significant margin. the same voters who vote for that, for the all pros, vote for the MVPs. You make it make sense. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get out of here. Our solo dolo is pretty impressive, if I do say so myself. I love and I appreciate y'all. We'll be back next week with the whole squad, my boy Carl. We got a lot more shenaniganry to talk about. In the meantime, y'all be good. Have a good night. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I'll see y'all next week.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning. So you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.